If you would turn now to Leviticus chapter 5. Leviticus chapter 5, beginning on page 83. Leviticus chapter 5. This is the word of the Lord. If anyone sins, and that he fears a public adjuration to testify, and though he is a witness, whether he has seen or come to know the matter, yet does not speak, he shall bear his iniquity. Or if anyone touches an unclean thing, whether a carcass of an unclean wild animal, or a carcass of unclean livestock, or a carcass of unclean swarming things, and it is hidden from him, and he has become unclean, and he realizes his guilt, or if he touches human uncleanness, of whatever sort the uncleanness may be, with which one becomes unclean, and it is hidden from him, when he comes to know it, and realizes his guilt, or if anyone utters with his lips a rash oath to do evil or to do good, any sort of rash oath that people swear, and it is hidden from him, when he comes to know it, and he realizes his guilt in any of these. When he realizes his guilt in any of these and confesses the sin he has committed, he shall bring to the Lord, as his compensation for the sin that he has committed, a female from the flock, a lamb or a goat for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for him for his sin. But if he cannot afford a lamb, then he shall bring to the Lord as his compensation for the sin that he has committed 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. He shall bring them to the priest, who shall offer the first one for the sin offering. He shall wring its head from its neck, but shall not sever it completely. And he shall sprinkle some of the blood of the sin offering on the side of the altar, while the rest of the blood shall be drained out at the base of the altar. It is a sin offering. Then he shall offer the second for a burnt offering according to the rule, and the priest shall make atonement for him for the sin that he has committed, and he shall be forgiven. But if he cannot afford 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons, then he shall bring as his offering for the sin that he has committed a tenth of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. He shall put no oil on it, and shall put no frankincense on it, for it is a sin offering. And he shall bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take a handful of it as its memorial portion, and burn this on the altar, on the Lord's food offerings. It is a sin offering. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him for the sin which he has committed in any one of these things, and he shall be forgiven. And the remainder shall be for the priest, as in the grain offering. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if anyone commits a breach of faith and sins unintentionally in any of the holy things of the Lord, he shall bring to the Lord as his compensation a ram without blemish out of the flock, valued in silver shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, for a guilt offering. He shall also make restitution for what he has done amiss in the holy thing, and shall add a fifth to it, and give it to the priest, and the priest shall make atonement for him with the ram of the guilt offering, and he shall be forgiven. If anyone sins, doing any of the things that by the Lord's commandments ought not to be done, though he did not know it, then realizes his guilt, he shall bear his iniquity. He shall bring to the priest a ram without blemish out of the flock or its equivalent for a guilt offering, and the priest shall make atonement for him for the mistake that he made unintentionally, and he shall be forgiven. It is a guilt offering. He has indeed incurred guilt before the Lord. This is the word of God. You shall be holy, as I, the Lord your God, am holy. The book of Leviticus is about holiness. It is about the holiness of God. The holiness of God who dwells in unapproachable light. The holiness of God in whom there is no darkness at all. The holiness of God who cannot dwell in the midst of sin. And yet that is what we find in Leviticus. God comes down to dwell in the midst of an unclean, unholy, sinful people. How can that be? And so the book of Leviticus deals with two questions. How may a sinful people approach God? And how may a sinful people dwell with God? How may a sinful people approach God? How may a sinful people draw near to God? And how may a sinful people dwell with God? How may a sinful people commune with God? The book of Leviticus, it concerns your union and communion with the Lord. The book of Leviticus concerns the fulfillment of His promise to dwell in the midst of His people, to dwell in your midst, to be your God, and you to be His people. The book of Leviticus concerns the fulfillment of this promise, a promise that endures forever. I will dwell in your midst. I will walk among you. My soul shall not abhor you. I will be your God. You shall be my people forever. How can that be? How will this promise be fulfilled? How can this promise be fulfilled? How can God, a holy God, fulfill His promise to dwell in the midst of a sinful people when he cannot dwell in the midst of a sinful people without consuming them in his wrath? And so we hear again his word. You shall be holy, as I, the Lord, your God, am holy. It is a command, and it is a promise. You will be holy. God finds you a people unclean, unholy, and sinful. He saves you, an unclean, unholy, sinful people. But that is not how he leaves you. He does not leave you as an unclean, unholy, sinful people. He transforms you. He transforms you into a pure, holy, and righteous people. That is how a holy God may dwell in your midst. Because he will make you holy. His holy dwelling place to all eternity. But he does not do this by ignoring your sin. He cannot do this by ignoring your sin. He cannot ignore your sin. He must deal with your sin. He must deal with your guilt. For you are by nature children of wrath. And that is what you deserve. You deserve his wrath. You have earned his wrath. When you think that life is unfair, remember that. If life were fair, you would suffer the wrath of God to all eternity. God does not ignore your sin. He deals with your sin. Leviticus chapter 5. It continues to remind us how God deals with our sin. Leviticus chapter 5 continues the laws regarding the sin offering. A sacrifice offered on account of sin. Throughout both chapters 4 and 5, you hear the refrain, and he shall be forgiven. And you shall be forgiven. Forgiven by whom? By the Lord. By the one whose name, Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, is the Lord. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. With God there is forgiveness. With God there is forgiveness. How may you approach the Lord? Through the forgiveness of your sins. But how may your sins be forgiven? only through sacrifice. The sacrifice of another. The sacrifice of another for you. The sacrifice of another in your place. A sacrifice to endure the death which you deserve. A sacrifice to suffer for your sin. A sacrifice to endure the consequence of your sin. The consuming fire of God's wrath. The consuming fire of God's holiness. For our God is a consuming fire. How may your sins be forgiven? Through the sacrifice of another for you, the sacrifice of another in your place. It is through the shedding of blood that you have forgiveness. It is through the shedding of blood that God's wrath is satisfied. It is through the shedding of blood that your guilt is removed. You cannot approach God without sacrifice. That was true for God's people in the Old Testament. It is true for God's people in the New Testament. You cannot approach God without sacrifice. Not the sacrifice of yourself. But the sacrifice of another. The sacrifice of another for you. Without such a sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood. There is no forgiveness of sin. In Leviticus chapter 5, we are reminded of that sacrifice necessary for the forgiveness of sin. And in Leviticus chapter 5, we read of something of which we have not yet read in Leviticus. The confession of sin. The confession of sin, the confession of guilt. It is not the confession of sin that causes forgiveness in Leviticus chapter 5. As though were someone to confess his sin, God would be required to forgive him his sin. The confession of sin is not because of God's forgiveness. But we are also reminded in Leviticus chapter 5 that no one ought to expect God's forgiveness if he refuses to repent of his sin. No one may presume upon God to forgive if he does not confess his sin, if he does not acknowledge his guilt, if he does not repent of his sin. The ground of your forgiveness. It is the mercy and grace of God in providing a sacrifice for you, in providing a sacrifice in your place. But you are not to presume upon God to forgive you if you do not repent. And repentance begins with confession. Repentance begins with acknowledgement. With the acknowledgement that what you have done is displeasing to the Lord. That what you have done is contrary to His word. Is contrary to His will. Repentance begins with the acknowledgement, with the confession that you have sinned against God, that you have offended the holiness of God. This was true in the Old Testament, and it remains true in the New Testament. We think of the Old Testament as particularly concerned with the outward man, with outward appearance, with things that can be touched, with things that can be seen. But here in Leviticus chapter 5, we are reminded that the Old Testament is not only concerned with such things, but that rather, as in the New Testament, it is first and foremost concerned with your heart. It is first and foremost concerned with the inward man. And so in Leviticus chapter 5, the one who comes to the Lord with a sin offering, he is to come with a sincere heart. He is to come with a repentant heart. He is not to come and say, "Here you go, Lord. Thanks." He is to come and confess his sin. He is to come and acknowledge what he deserves. And so he is to come and rejoice in the grace of the Lord, knowing that what he receives from the Lord is not what he deserves. Leviticus chapter 5 calls you to repentance. Leviticus chapter 5 calls you to confession. And Leviticus chapter 5 reminds you why you are confessing. Because you are sinful, because you are unclean. Because without sacrifice you may not approach the Lord. Because without sacrifice you may not have communion with the Lord. Leviticus chapter 5 reminds you of your uncleanness. Not the uncleanness of your bodies, but the uncleanness of your souls. The uncleanness of your hearts. Why are these three situations mentioned together in Leviticus chapter 5? The failure of a witness to testify, the touching of an unclean thing, and the utterance of a rash word. It may strike us odd that these three things are grouped together. Are they related to one another? We know, as with all Scripture, that what is written here was written here purposefully. We know that they are mentioned together purposefully, although we may not understand why. But I think we may understand why. I think we may understand why if we recognize that the central issue here is uncleanness, of one's becoming unclean. And this issue of uncleanness, it is surrounded by two situations, both of which involve speech. In the first situation, in the first case, we have a failure by not speaking. And in the second case, in the second situation, we have a failure by speaking rashly, and both are sin. There are times when you ought to speak, and there are times when you ought not to speak. When you fail to speak, when you ought to speak, that is a sin. And when you speak, when you ought not to speak, that is also a sin. You are called not only to refrain from what God forbids, but you are called also to do what God commands. You are not only called to refrain from speaking rashly, but you are also called to speak truthfully. You are not only called to refrain from speaking rashly to one another, or gossiping about one another, or speaking abusively to one another. You are also called to speak to one another in love, to encourage one another. A husband ought not to speak abusively to his wife. But a husband who refrains from speaking abusively to his wife, he has not fulfilled the entirety of his obligation toward her. For he is also called to encourage his wife, to speak words of encouragement to her. A father or a mother who refrain from speaking abusively to their children, they have not filled the entirety of their obligation to their children, for they are called also to encourage their children, to speak words of encouragement to their children. When you refrain from speaking words of abuse to one another, you do well, but you have not fulfilled the entirety of your obligation to one another, for you are all called to encourage one another, to speak words of encouragement to one another. But what does this have to do with uncleanness? What does speech have to do with uncleanness? Where does speech come from? Matthew chapter 15, verse 18. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. The words of your mouth, they proceed from your heart. The sins of your mouth, whether sinful silence or sinful speech, they proceed from an unclean heart. James chapter 3, verse 6. The tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. So says James. And so says Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 5, concerned with outward uncleanness, is also pointing the people of God to a greater uncleanness. The uncleanness of the mouth that proceeds from the uncleanness of the heart, from the uncleanness of the inward man. What's a careless word? What difference does it make? Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. I tell you, on the day of judgment, you will give account for every careless word that you speak. Every careless word that you've spoken to your spouse. Every careless word that you've spoken to your child. Every careless word that you've spoken to your parents. Every careless word that you've spoken to your neighbor. Every careless word that you've spoken to one another. You will give account for every careless word that you speak. Every careless word that you've spoken to God. But with God, there is forgiveness. Leviticus chapter 5. With God, there is forgiveness. You may confess your sin to Him and receive forgiveness from Him. For you have a sacrifice that does not cleanse the body alone, but also the soul. A sacrifice that cleanses you from all unrighteousness. A sacrifice that atones for every careless word. A sacrifice that purifies all uncleanness. Christ was condemned by the utterance of rash words, by the utterance of malicious words, by the utterance of false testimony against Him. And those who knew the truth were silent. Those who witnessed the truth did not speak. One betrayed Him. Others abandoned Him, and another denied Him. But on the cross He cried, "Father, forgive them." With God, there is forgiveness. Through Christ, you have forgiveness. God has given you a mouth. God has given you a tongue. God has given you a heart that you might confess your sin to Him. That you might confess your guilt before Him. And God responds by forgiving you your sin in Christ. And by giving to you a purified heart, a purified mouth, a purified tongue, that you might use your mouth to bless God and bless one another, to praise God and encourage one another, to worship with one voice together the one God and our one Lord, Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray.